This is Degaris Masculist MGTOW Flyers. That is two 3-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 731, entitled Masculism and AI, that's artificial intelligence. When robots do all the work, family structures will diversify. Description. This flyer is a bit of a sequel to the previous one, set in the same era in which the robots do all the work, so that people no longer need to be mobile to seek employment when they have to change jobs. With static populations, all kinds of new familial lifestyles become possible, resulting in an explosion of family structure experiments that this flyer talks about. The flyer itself. Masculism and AI. When robots do all the work, family structures will diversify. By Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. When robots are so intelligent and productive that humans no longer need to work, things will change, and profoundly. For example, as shown in the previous flyer, number 730, entitled Masculism and AI, when robots do all the work, people will have babies. When material wealth is on tap, when financial constraints are virtually non-existent, then people will probably have a lot more kids, thus solving the population crash problem. This flyer talks about another major change that robot hyper-productivity will cause, and that is that people will be able to experiment with family structures, so that we will see in the coming years an explosion of experiments in new family arrangements. This flyer suggests ways... I'm getting windows popping up that I don't want. This flyer suggests ways in which families may arrange themselves when material scarcity is no longer an issue. Before getting into this, it's useful to make a comparison between these future family structures and today's dominant family structure, that is the nuclear family of mom, dad, and the kids. Where did this nuclear family structure come from? Prior to the Industrial Revolution and the creation of the factory system, most people were farmers, living in extended three-generational families who had large numbers of kids, since kids were free labour and an asset to the wealth of the family. The grandparent generation of these three-generational families helped babysit the grandchildren, thus freeing up the parents, the middle generation, so that they could leave their children for hours at a time to do other things besides child minding. The three-generational farming family was the norm several centuries ago, with such families usually living in villages consisting of hundreds to thousands of such families. These village populations were largely static, since there were few reasons to move. This static lifestyle allowed long-term relationships to form. Everyone knew everyone, and trust levels were higher, since it was very difficult for people to commit crimes and not be found out. Then along came the invention of the steam engine that changed everything. It led to the Industrial Revolution, with much higher productivity levels, with machines working 24/7 and much faster than human labour, resulting in the costs of manufactured goods falling dramatically so that standards of living rose. Since people could afford to buy more things, due to the costs of what they bought being a lot cheaper. As a result of this, machines took over from humans in manufacture. Machines were often centralized into common areas called factories, and people were employed to run these machines. Millions of people over time were employed to manufacture goods in the factory system. But factories usually had to compete with each other, which meant that there would be winners and losers. That is, that many factories went bankrupt, thus causing the factory's employees to be fired and forced to look for work at another factory that typically was not within walking distance from the home of the fired employee. These fired employees had to be mobile, to be able to move house, to be near their new employment, their new factory. This need for mobility had a profound effect on the structure of families. It led to the nuclear family, in brackets, of mom, dad, and the kids, becoming the norm. The three-generational extended family no longer was practical, since, for example, if the grandparents had several kids living in the same extended family, then if the kids had jobs in factories, then when one kid kept his factory job and another didn't, then the fired kid had to move to find another job, or he starved. We have lived with this nuclear family model for well over a century now, so we take it for granted, not questioning it. But in the next decade or so, it's likely that this norm will be shattered by a new enabling factor that permits alternative family structures to become practical. And that, and that factor is AI-based robots who will do all the work, thus allowing people to be static again, not having to move to new jobs when their employers go bankrupt, as has been the case for many generations now. It's likely that once static living becomes practical again, there will be an explosion of experimentation, a massive diversification of family structures, of living arrangements. For example, you've probably heard of the expression, quote, "It takes a village to raise a child," meaning that it's much easier for a woman to raise a child if she has many other women around her who can look after the child if she needs to do something else for some hours. Having lots of other women around is possible when the woman lives in a village where everyone knows everyone. She can leave her child with trusted other childminders. The child also benefits since it can learn from several other significant adults in the child's life. For these reasons, once employment mobility is no longer a factor in people's lives, it's likely that people will choose to live in villages, in communities, in communes, etc., so that the constraints of the nuclear family no longer exist. In a traditional nuclear family, typically the father, the husband, was out of the house earning a living, and the wife, the mother, stayed at home looking after the small children, which was a full-time job a century ago, before there was sufficient contraception, and mothers often had a dozen kids. Since her employed husband moved, on average, once every 5 years, as was the case until recently in the US, for example, she was often stuck in the suburbs, hardly knowing the neighbours and feeling deeply isolated and alone. Such a life was not pleasant. When the robots do all the work, people will be free to live the lifestyles they want, to experiment with alternative lifestyles and living arrangements that are a lot more emotionally and socially satisfying compared to the constraints and inferiorities of the nuclear family model. Let's start thinking about such alternatives. I can imagine that committees are set up that organize the creation of villages, which invite people to join them to create a village of a limited number of people. You may have heard of the Dunbar number, which, to quote Google, dash, quote, "Dunbar's number is the theory that humans can only maintain about 150 stable social relationships at one time. Proposed by anthropologist Robin Dunbar, this limit is based on a correlation between primate neocortex size and group size. The theory suggests a layered structure of relationships with an inner circle of around 5 people, followed by layers of about 15, 50, and 150 meaningful contacts. New paragraph. Layers of relationships. Bullet. 5 people. Your closest loved ones, including your immediate family and best friends. Bullet. 15 people. Close friends with whom you have a strong bond. Bullet. 50 people. A general circle of friends. Bullet. 150 people. The total number of meaningful, stable relationships you can maintain, which can include colleagues and other contacts. Bullet. 500 people. Acquaintances you know but don't interact with regularly. Bullet. 1500 people. The number of people you can recognize and remember. End quote. One of the major disadvantages of living in a city is that nearly all of the faces one comes across each day, especially in public transport, is that they are total strangers to you. You don't know them from Adam. This is alienating, but it is so much part of our daily lives that we don't give it a moment's thought. It's just part of the furniture. But living in a Dunbar village will feel very different. Everyone you see will be known to you. You will know their personalities, their lives, their problems, etc. It will be a much more personal experience and much friendlier experience that millions of people will probably choose to have as their lifestyle. With robots doing all work, people's interest will shift to child rearing and socializing, making the creation of Dunbar villages very popular in practice. Since it seems to be a law of nature that shit happens, many of these social experiments will fail for a string of reasons. So it's likely that people will learn from their mistakes and create new variants of social living. With millions of people, there will be large numbers of different social, familial experiments, some of which will be a lot more successful than others, so will survive. Other experiments will fail and be weeded out. Over time, the successful ones will dominate as society learns what works and what doesn't. I can imagine, for example, that sages, in brackets, that's people with very high IQs, may want to live amongst their own kind, so set up Dunbar villages that have entry conditions, for example, having a very high IQ to be eligible for entry. But would such a community be functional? If it is, it will survive, and if not, it won't. Many such special interest communities could be set up so that the members of that village would share a common and strong interest. I don't pretend to be able to give a broad overview of the range of social and familial experiments that will come to light when the robots do all the work and people can stay put. It will probably be liberating for a lot of people, especially for men who no longer will need to be manslaves to women, working for women, so can devote their days to being fathers and or pursuing their own interests, hobbies, studies, etc. So long as the AIs do not decide to wipe out humanity for whatever reason, their near future lifestyles could be very pleasant for humanity. It could lead to a blossoming of human talent and happiness as people are given the freedom to do what they really want, to live lifestyles that they choose freely to have. Economics could shift from being about the analysis of scarcity of services and goods, that is, raising GNP, to raising GNH, that is, gross national happiness, with research being done on what makes people happy, and then setting up institutions that promote the creation of those factors that make people happy. All this could be profoundly liberating for men and for people in general. Cheers. Prof. Dr. Hugo de Garis. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. In brackets, Click on the Mascus tab for 730 plus Mascus essays and their videos. Google the terms London Real and Hugo de Garis to see videos on masculism at AI will kill 1 billion people, dash. Do we create our exterminators? Krishma. Professor Hugo de Garis, dash. London Real. In brackets. See the last half hour of this 2-hour interview for the Mascus segment, as well as Countdown to Extinction, How AI Will Exterminate Mankind, again for the last 40 minutes on masculism. These flyers are available in text and video formats on Minds, BitChute, Odyssey, MGTOW.tv, X, and YouTube. I have nearly 1,000 Mascus videos in 15 playlists on YouTube that can be accessed by searching for the channel name De Garis Mascus Videos. That's all one word. All 1,000 of my Mascus videos in one long list in most recent first time order can also be found on X by searching the channel name De Garis Mascus Videos. That's four words. Sure.